Thank God. Well, we're going to pick up back into healing where we left off, but we're going to review a little bit because we were on a few things, and we're going to have to go back, loop around, and then we'll go forward. So let's turn over to John 14. I'm talking about God at work, healing God at work. And previous messages are available on the website. You need to go back. We got into some things last time we were on this. So we'll go further in that area tonight. John 14, verse 9. John 14, verse 9. Everybody there? It says, we can go back to verse 7. It says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. So look at verse 9, it says, he who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, show us the Father? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus was and is the will of God in action. If you want to know what God, the Father, would do in any situation, if you want to know what his view is on any situation, look at what Jesus did while he was on the earth. As he was in certain situations, how did he act? How did he handle them? I think a lot of people would be surprised at what Jesus does in certain situations. There's warped ideas of what Jesus is and who he is. And people say things all the time of, well, this is Christianity, but you look at what Jesus did and it's different from what they're saying. There's a lot of mamby-pamby stuff in this world and in this country. Well, we just got to love people. But Jesus is love personified. And he wasn't always just super soft and sweet. He wasn't mean, but he wasn't just soft-spoken and just, well, whatever you want to believe, it's okay. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. He didn't do that. I mean, he got in people's face and said, you hypocrite, you whitewashed sepulcher. He was... You know, he got the whip and was chasing people out. And he did it all in love. He never missed it once. So when we look at him, we can know that we're looking at the Father. We're looking at the will of God. And so we're talking about healing. And so you can look at Jesus and you can see what the will of God is for healing. And what do we read? Let's go over to Acts. We're just reviewing a little bit. Go over to Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38 says, everybody there? It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He went about doing good and healing how many? All. What does all mean? All means all. Everyone. So he went about doing good. We said this. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. What did he anoint him to do? One of the things he anointed him to do, it said he went about doing good. What was the good that he went about doing? Well, then it says, and healing all who were oppressed by who?
The devil.
By the devil. For God was with him. So Jesus was anointed by God. He went about doing good, and he healed all. And so we've said some of these things, but we're going to get into a few things here. If it were the will of God to put sickness on people himself, that it was his will, okay, it was his will that somebody be sick, then surely Jesus would have done it. He would have made somebody sick at some time. If it was God's will for somebody not to be healed, that it just wasn't the timing when they came to Jesus, surely at least one time Jesus would have said, I'm sorry, it's not your time, come back later. Or he looked at him and say, sorry, you're just being taught something here. God's teaching you something, let him work it out in your life. But he didn't ever do that. But you have doctrines that teach these very things that we're saying. There's many people that believe that it's God's will for them to be sick. That God puts sickness on people and is his will to do that. That's what is his purpose. They'll say, well, God works in mysterious ways. Well, his ways are higher than our ways. We don't know why he's doing this. But, you know, they believe everything is God. Everything that happens on the earth is God's will. And that's just not true. That's sovereignty taken way over here. God is the sovereign God of the universe, but he's limited himself on the earth. In various ways. We're not going to take time to go all through this, but he gave dominion to Adam. He said, have dominion over the earth. And Adam bowed his knee to Satan. The Bible says, to whom you yield to obey, you're his slave. He yielded to the devil. And the devil, the Bible calls the devil the god of this world now. He is the God of this world. He has things under control. A lot of these things that are happening, hurricanes, tornadoes, it's because we live in a fallen world that Satan is the God of this world. Those are not acts of God. Those are acts, they're not necessarily direct acts of the devil, but they're acts in a fallen world. The world is not what God created. It's fallen. It's in a fallen state. But there is a manager of this world, and his name is Satan. One man said many years ago, you know, Brother Hagin was recounting how he was reading an article in like Reader's Digest or something, and this man was saying, one thing keeps me, I can't remember if he said one thing keeps me from being a Christian or confused him. He said, I don't understand if God is in control of this world, why he has it in such a mess. What about all the famine and the wars and the disease and children dying? If God is controlling everything, he's sure not doing a very good job. And he's showing more understanding than a lot of Christians have allowed themselves to. Some people have been just brainwashed and they swallow this stuff in church, but they don't really believe it outside of church. In other words, they'll say, well, yes, it's God's will that I be sick, but then they'll get out and they'll go right to the doctor and try to get rid of whatever it is that they believe that it's God's will for them to have. So most people really don't believe it. If you had a child sick, you would do anything you needed to get that child well. if you're a good parent, if you care about your child. Right? You don't believe it's God. You don't believe it's good that somebody is sick. How much more our Father to willingly put something on somebody? That it's His will to do it. That this is His best and highest. That it's His will that some child get taken to heaven so that because they needed another angel in the choir. People say stuff like that. That's not God. That's not God's will. So we got into some things last time, but there are these teachings, and they're not in isolation. They come from somewhere, and they come from a misunderstanding of Scripture. And so we're talking about that it's God's will to heal all. And so we're going to touch on a few things because you can't put the blinders on and look at the Bible and not see certain things in the Word. These things are not completely just in isolation. They come from a misunderstanding of Scripture. You hear me? There are Scriptures that if you look just surface, you could say, well, it's where people start to get. It's God's will and it's God's purpose that people be sick. So we're going to say a few things, and we're going to get into a few things just because we're not going to go probably, you know, we'll be led by the Lord, but we're not going to do an exhaustive study on this, but I do want to touch on some things along these lines so that we know and we have some scripture to back up. You know, if somebody comes to you with some of these things, well, what about this? What about that? Well, it's not my opinion or your opinion. We got to go back to the Word, right? It's not Pastor Jim said or you pick your favorite television preacher said. That doesn't hold any water. Because they could say the same thing to you. And you don't know who they're talking about. Well, this guy says this, so. No, we had to look at the Word. So why don't we turn to a few scriptures? We're going to turn to quite a few, probably. All right? You got your fingers warmed up? All right, let's go over to Exodus 15:26. We're believing that the Lord's helping us, right? It's going to get this out the way we need to touch on the things we need to touch on. Exodus 15:26, you guys there? So it says here, it says, and said, it says, if you diligently heed, this is the Lord saying, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. Okay, there it says, for I am the Lord who heals you. That means I'm the Lord, your physician. I'm your healer. But look what it says right before it. I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. Is that what your Bible says? Something to that effect?
Yes.
Doesn't say the devil did it. It says the Lord did it. Now we're going to loop back through some of this stuff, but let's just go through a few of them first. Deuteronomy 7:15. Deuteronomy 7:15. Everybody there? It says, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. Who? The Lord is going to lay them on all those who hate you. But notice what it said at the beginning. The Lord will take away from you. Let's just go back to verse 12, okay? Let's read a few verses here. Look at verse 12. It says, then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flock in the land which he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall be not a male or female barren among you or among your livestock, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. You notice verse 12, it said, what? When you listen to these judgments, you keep and do them. Did you notice that? You notice when we read in Exodus, it says, if you keep my statutes, if you do what I tell you to do, then I'll put all these diseases, I won't put any of these diseases that I laid on the Egyptians. I'm the Lord who heals you. Do you notice that? Yes. You see this type of thing as we get into it. Deuteronomy 28. Go to Deuteronomy 28. Now, Deuteronomy 28, we could go through this whole chapter. We're not going to take time to do it now. But in the first part of Deuteronomy 28, it talks about the blessings for obedience. And in the second part, verse 15 on, it says the curses on disobedience. Let's read just a few of the verses in 28. I think you see this sounds familiar. Chapter 28, verse 1 says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, and that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Blessed the produce of your ground and increase of your herds. The increase of your cattle and the offsprings of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And it goes on and on. Blessed, 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 blessed when you obey him, when you do what he told you to do. Blessed. That means you are destined for success. Blessed is to empowered, enabled, destined for success, destined to win. You're blessed when you go after him. On the other hand, look at verse 15. It says, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Curse means doomed, damned, destined for destruction. That's what a curse is. These curses will come on you. So he starts going on here. It says, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. And it goes on like that. Now hold your finger there real quick, and go over to Galatians 3, and then just hold your finger in Deuteronomy. We're going to pick it up, but I just want to show you. So it says, on one hand, there's blessing. On the other hand, there's cursing. Go over to Galatians. Galatians 3, verse 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. So, we're not going to get into this part of it, maybe for another day. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Okay, all the curses that we're reading, we're redeemed. That means we don't need ever to suffer curses. Okay, we're redeemed. We're blessed. But God hasn't changed. God is the same. To go back to Deuteronomy, the way he deals with man changes over time and has changed throughout history, but he has not changed. And it says in Deuteronomy, we read at the beginning, that if you do what he tells you to do, we read in Exodus for obedience, that if you do what I told you to do, we read in Exodus, it says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. We read in Deuteronomy 7:15, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known. He says that if you will obey. In Deuteronomy 28, we just read that if you'll obey, blessing is yours. When you disobey, curses are yours. Now go back into Deuteronomy 28. Let's go down a little bit to 21 through 23. So we started reading these different curses. Look at 21. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. Now notice, this is saying, if you disobey, if you don't do, you don't observe his commandments. Now look, what does it say in verse 21? The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning, fever, with the sword, with scorching, and with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. Verse 23, and your heavens which are over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron. Go down to verse 27. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with the tumors, with the scab, with the itch, from which you cannot be healed. Verse 28, the Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. And you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in the darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall only be oppressed and plundered continually. No one shall save you. Down in verse 35, it says, the Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils, which cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. Then it goes through different things. In the middle, look down, verse 61. It says, and also every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. Verse 65, and among those nations you shall find no rest, nor shall the sole of your foot have a resting place. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul. So, we just read a bunch of scripture. It says the Lord did it. And he did it. But what did he say? Just back up a second. Even if somebody believed that it's the Lord's will, that he willingly smites people. Even if you believe that, one question, who gets what? who gets what? Who are the people that got, that we just got done reading, that the Lord's going to smite with this and the Lord's going to bring on that? What nature of those people? What do we read in verse 15? What type of people are getting those? Disobedient people. What do we read in verse 20, in chapter 28? Verse 1. If you're obedient, did it say you got any of it?
No.
So even if you believe that the Lord willingly smites people, then as long as you're obeying Him, you shouldn't be getting anything. There are people that believe that you're doing, people are going down serving Him with all their heart, and boom. They never know, because it might just be the Lord's will to take you out. But where do you get that? Because we'll get into more, but you can't find that. And with the scriptures that we're reading, every one of them so far, it's not the people that are obeying God, that have a heart towards God, that are serving Him, that are getting anything but blessing. God said, if you obey me, here's what you're going to get. You're going to be blessed, 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 blessed. But if you don't, not so much. So even if you believe that, which I don't, you'd have to say, look, God doesn't just go around randomly hitting people with stuff. He doesn't just, you don't know. God's ways are higher than your ways, so you don't know. He might just knock your kid with cancer, because that's just the way He works. The Bible, I mean, even if you believe that, you can't say it here. I mean, that's not what He's saying. He's saying people that rebel and are disobedient. But you see, you see this in the body of Christ, that people think good. Why, they say, why do good things happen to bad people? It's a misunderstanding. The idea is you can be doing everything that God told you to do and He might still knock you out. If that's the way God is, who wants to serve Him like that? I mean, you're doing, if your child was doing everything you asked them to do, you come up and say, go up to your room, you're getting a spanking. They look at you like, what? Unjust. Is God just? Yes, He's just. He's infinitely just. But this is what people are saying. It doesn't make any sense. We would not tolerate it on the earth from men. But this is what people are saying, and it's blasphemy. Whether they know it or not, they're impugning God's character. They're saying, we don't know it, but He's just doing this. And we don't know why. There's no reason. But that's not what the Scripture teaches. Let's turn over to Exodus 12. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Everybody in Exodus 12, verse 11. It says, now this is where the children of Israel, this is where the Passover is instituted there. You know, they've gone through all these plagues with Pharaoh, not letting them go, and now the final plague is upon them. The firstborn are going to be killed. And so, they're being given instruction on how to eat the Passover. Verse 11 says, and thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, so you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Did you notice? Verse 12, it says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. So two things. Who did he say was going to strike? He said, I am going to strike. Number two, he said, I am going to execute judgment. All right? He said, I'm going to strike, and I'm going to execute judgment. So it looks there that God is doing it. And he is actually taking these people out. Verse 22, skip down to verse 22. It says, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. So now we get a clearer picture of what's actually going on. It says the Lord's coming through. But what does it say the Lord is doing? It said the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. The destroyer is actually doing the killing. So I'm going to make a statement, and then we're going to talk a little bit about it. We said it last time, but we're going to give some more scripture, and we're going to get this done tonight, but we'll pick it up. You can write this down, or if you've already written it down, just listen. God passes judgment that allows the destroyer access, and this never pleases him. God passes judgment that allows the destroyer access, but this never pleases him. It is never his will. I'm going to say it one more time. God executes judgment that allows the destroyer access, but this never pleases him. It's never his will. And we're going to get into more scripture. But you can see this. Let's go over to Nehemiah 20. Nehemiah 9, excuse me. So if you go back in the Old Testament, you'll see 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, before that Samuel, go a little bit past 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah. So chapter 9, verse 20. Actually, we could go back to, you could read this whole chapter probably, but you see a picture of this. Let's just go back to verse 18. It says, even when they made, now talking about the Israelites, even when they made a molded calf for themselves and said, this is your God that brought you out of Egypt and worked great provocations, yet in your manifold mercies you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud did not depart from them by day to lead them on the road, nor the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way they should go. You also gave your good spirit to instruct them and did not withhold your manna from their mouth and gave them water for their thirst. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out. Their feet did not swell. Moreover, you gave them kingdoms and nations and divided them into districts. So they took possession of the land of Sihon and the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. You also multiplied their children as the stars of heaven, and you brought them into the land which you had told their fathers to go in and possess. So the people went in and possessed the land. You subdued before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they wished. And they took strong cities and a rich land and possessed houses full of goods, cisterns already dug, vineyards, olive groves, and fruit trees in abundance. So they ate and were filled and grew fat, and delighted themselves in your great goodness. Now can you see? The people are doing what God said, and they're reaping the benefits. And they're enjoying his great goodness. Now look at the next verse. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against you, cast your law behind their backs, and killed your prophets who testified against them to turn them to yourself. And they worked great provocations. Therefore, you delivered them into the hand of their enemies. Who? He delivered them into the hand of their enemies, who oppressed them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried to you, you heard from them. And according to your abundant mercies, you gave them deliverers who saved them from the hand of their enemies. So what happened? They were oppressed, but then they cried out to God. And God sent somebody and delivered them because of his mercy. Verse 28, but after they had rest, they again did evil before you. Therefore, you left them in the hand of their enemies. Do you see this? God doesn't want... What did the moment they cry out, what does God do? Brings them back. And then what did they do? They went right back. And so God, he didn't want to. You can see it, and we're going to read more scripture. He doesn't want to. Because the moment they cry out, he's delivered. His heart is their good. But they keep rebelling. Therefore, you left them in the hand of their enemies so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried out to you, you heard from heaven, and many times you delivered them according to your mercies. God is a merciful God. He's a good God. He's a loving God. Over and over, he delivered them. Turn over to Lamentations. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Lamentations 3, verse 31. Lamentations 3, verse 31. It says, "For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men." For the Lord will not cast off forever, though he causes grief. Yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. That means willingly, the margin of my Bible says, from his heart. He doesn't afflict from his heart. He doesn't willingly do it. He doesn't want to do it. I'm going to read that to you in several different translations. In the New International Version, it says, "For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men." In the Living Bible, it says, "For the Lord will not abandon him forever. Although God gives him grief, yet he will show compassion too, according to the greatness of his loving kindness. For he does not enjoy afflicting men and causing sorrow." In verse, if you want to look back in verse 22. It says, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Notice that. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. So we just got done reading, he does not afflict willingly. It is not his will ever. It's never God's will for somebody to be afflicted. All God would have to do for all of us to be consumed is nothing. The destroyer would wipe out the whole place if he could. But he can't, because of the mercy of God and the protection of God. If an enemy ever tells you, "I'm going to take you out," why hasn't he done it already? If he's so big and bad, why hasn't he already killed you? "Well, I'm going to take out your kid. I'm going to get him." Why didn't you do it yesterday? If you can do it anytime you want, because he can't. Because there's the protection of Almighty God. All God has to do for somebody to be destroyed is just remove it. If God weren't protecting us right now, the enemy would wipe us out. That's why when the church is removed from the earth, all hell's going to break loose. Because there's nothing restraining anymore. But God's protecting us right now. His mercy is over our life. Thank God for it. Praise God. It's 8:05, so we're going to wind down, and we'll pick it up next time, and we'll keep going on it. But God's, this is more teaching, you know. At Rhema, the bell would ring, boom, that's it. Pick up the next class. It's the way it is. I can't complete all this, and I don't want to try to complete it all tonight, but we'll pick it up. But we want to know why we believe what we believe, and we want to know what the Word of God says. It doesn't do anybody any good to go, "Oh, I don't see that, I don't see that, I believe this." it doesn't do you any good, because in a pinch, you need to know why you believe it and what's going on. And the devil has twisted things, and men have twisted it through their misunderstanding of Scripture, and it puts people in bondage. We're not going to be in bondage. We're free. The light of the Word brings freedom.